Well, good morning. This is Adam Story, the director of the Marriage and Family Life Office for the Diocese of Des Moines. And this morning, my guests are Dowling Catholic Chaplain and Associate Pastor at St. Augustine's Parish, Father Zach Kowski. Welcome.
Good morning.
And also Brian Gonzalez, the Development Director for the Monastery of San Benedetto.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad I hit that one.
Yeah.
And a father of two sons, a husband, and you have a third child on the way in August?
That's right, early August.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. Well, and today we're gonna be talking about some of the theology of marriage, and then we're going to bring that into our lives. How does that apply to us? But before we go any further, let's start with prayer. Father, can you?
Let's begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we invite you to pray with us wherever you are, if you're in your car or at home. Please pray with us this morning. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Heavenly Father, we give you this day. We give you everything we are and we have. Take our weakness, our joy, everything about us, and use it for your glory. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So if you haven't noticed so far this week, this parish spotlight, this week we're focusing on marriage ministry. And we're doing that. It's a part of a national effort, actually. This week, starting tomorrow, February 7th to 14th is National Marriage Week, and then February 10th, this Sunday, is World Marriage Day, and it's a time to celebrate marriage, to really recognize marriage as what it is. It's a gift from God, and it's something that brings us closer to God. It brings us together, and it's really the foundation of society. And so today, as we have this show, I invited Brian and Father Kowski to be with us because I want to focus on some of the theology, some of the, what's the root of marriage, what's the deeper meaning of marriage, and, you know, I think some people might think theology is just for priests, it's just for, you know, somebody who's going to do official work for the church, but that's not true. So, what I would ask you guys is, why is this an important topic for any couple?
It's really important for us to understand the kind of the reasons why we believe what we believe, and to see that our church has beautiful truths which we teach about marriage and about family and priesthood for that matter, and that these time-tested truths really lead us toward God, and they're very, very reasonable. So I think it's really, really important that we have reasons for our faith. And you know, I talked to a lot of college students, former Dowling students, just this past week. Two of them were up all night, you know, just talking to an atheist and explaining to an atheist why we believe what we believe. So it's really, really important, I think, today especially to have reasons and to believe and to know why we believe.
Yeah, and it's really an invitation that we're all meant to be apologists. We're all meant to be able to evangelize in our culture today.
Well, when you think about marriage being theological, theology is the study of God. So we're learning about God. How is it in marriage that we actually learn about God? And we were talking before about how marriage is sacramental. Sacramental, something that's sacramental is a visible sign of an invisible reality. So our lives in our family, and we're going to talk about the domestic church, that's a way in which our families can teach us about God. So the family is a place in which God is understood.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we understand that that great dignity of marriage and of the family, it changes the way we live it too. It changes the way we approach it. You know, you can't accomplish a goal if you don't know what that goal is. And something I think about is, you know, if we had a football team, we just had the Super Bowl. So imagine if we had a football team who thought that the goal of the game was to get within the red zone, but didn't know that the goal was a touchdown. You know, they wouldn't win many games. And so if we don't recognize the purpose of marriage, the goal of marriage, our marriages suffer for that.
And so what is that goal of marriage?
Well, and so the goal of marriage is to sanctify us, to bring us into relationship with God. And Brian, you mentioned the term the domestic church. Where does that term come from?
You know, one way we can learn about the domestic church is looking to Scripture. In Acts chapter 18, there was Crispus. It says that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his whole household. So his whole household converted. This is what we refer to as the domestic church. You know, one way we learn about God is in our family. And so the domestic church basically being a place in which a place where the faith is passed on from parents to children.
And in the early church, I mean, this is really where worship took place, is in the family. We didn't have St. Peter's Basilica. We didn't have these magnificent structures. And worship took place in the family. The Eucharist took place
at our houses. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, we still believe today that the primary educator, primary teacher of the faith are in fact the parents. You know, even before the priest on Sunday and Sunday school teachers and theology teachers, that the parent is the first teacher of the faith. And I think what a challenge that is today for parents to really know their faith and live their faith, and to not be afraid to show that faith, to live that faith for their children. I love what John Paul II says about family. He says it's a school of love,
mm-hmm.
Where we learn how to love others as we ought. And we learn how to love our future spouse as well, because we all know, you know, we all come from beautiful yet imperfect family, you know, we're mm-hmm. human. We know that as we learn to love members of our family and we're loved in turn, we learn to love our future spouse who will, you know, not be perfect.
Yeah.
So that helps us. That's a training for,
yeah,
for future marriage.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about this more as we come back. Again, this is Adam's Story, and I'm here with Father Zach Kautsky and Brian Gonzalez, and we're discussing the theology of the marriage on Iowa Catholic Radio at 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. Welcome back. This is Adam Story, the Director of the Marriage and Family Life Office for the Diocese of Des Moines, and I'm here with Father Zach Kautsky and Brian Gonzalez, and we're discussing the theology of marriage. We began our conversation, we talked a little bit about the domestic church, and Father, you mentioned that the family is the school of love. It's a beautiful image, and you know, one of the things that I think about is there's a lot of struggles with family today. There's a lot of confusion about God today, and I don't think that that's coincidental. You know,
that's right. Just look at the we all watch the Super Bowl Sunday. I think most people watch the Super Bowl. Look at the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
I only watched part of it. I could only bring myself to watch half before I had to leave the room. We had the singer Beyonce, who is very, very talented and gifted, beautiful woman. But she was wearing almost no clothing,
mm-hmm.
and on the largest stage in the world. I mean, the largest television viewing audience in history
ever.
Yeah. And you see there's a lot of confusion there about what does our sexuality mean? And what I think our Catholic faith says is, you know, all of us want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to learn that love in the family correctly, or we're going to go searching for love in ways that are unhealthy and ultimately lead to unhappiness. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think bottom line, I think it's really important that we want to think about that halftime show, you know, say, wow, that's a person who wants to be loved authentically. You know, Pope Benedict says that every person wants to be loved truly and authentically, and that's true with her as well. She wants to be loved authentically, but sometimes we eat out of the dumpster rather than going into the restaurant.
Well, and Father, you just went from marriage. Some of our listeners might be thinking, well, Father, how is that possible? You went from marriage to family to sexuality. Oh, wait a minute. How'd you make that leap? But it's so important, because it's in the family that we actually learn about who we are, and who we're supposed to be, and how we're supposed to act.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we look to our parents, and that's why the Domus Ecclesia, the domestic church, is so important in learning about what we're supposed to do in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, especially when there's so many negative examples out there, when there's so many examples of of a shallowness or falling short that we exemplify the good examples and that we accent those, because you know, there's a lot of goodness out there too. I think about one of the married couples at our parish. They've been married for over 50 years. They lead the sponsor couple program, and they still flirt with each other. They still tease each other. They're still always having a good time with each other. And it's really encouraging for me, you know, in a marriage that's less than 3 years old, to see that, to say, I mean, it's beautiful. It's captivating. To say, that's what I want.
Well, and Adam, one example that comes to mind for me is my father-in-law, who's today is the second anniversary of his death, and he was a great example, certainly of a husband, but really of a great father, a father of 9 children, extremely hard worker, a good model for me, in me being a dad to my 2 children.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing about these examples, how good marriages is they are transformative. You know, we talk about marriage as sacramental, and sacraments are a sign. They're a visible sign of an invisible reality, but they're also efficacious. They're also powerful. Yeah,
they do something. They do something.
Absolutely.
Things of the natural.
Absolutely. And it's not in our world today. We need to bring grace into the world. You know. And our marriages do that, and our holy priests do that too.
You know, and I think something for people to know and remember is that we priests are so inspired by the great, beautiful example of married people that you speak about. You know, that through their love for each other, through their gift of self, each day, that's inspiring to us, and that helps us to love our bride, the church, even more fully. So that example is really important. And I have such a privilege as a priest to celebrate funerals and weddings. And I'm thinking of one particular funeral I had several weeks ago. There was a child of a newly married couple. And the child, unfortunately, was stillborn. And so this couple, understandably, was very distraught and upset, but yet very, very faithful. And the image that sticks with me is from the funeral. They had a full funeral, and the father, on the way out of the church, carrying this casket. You know, he's a big, tall guy. He's carrying this little casket in his arms, you know, like Saint Joseph. And so that's beautiful, and it's inspiring. And so I hope that our married people know that we're watching, you know, and we need that example to be inspired as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, we need each other, because we can't give what we don't have. And as I meant to image God's love and bring God's love into my family, well, I can't give what I don't have. And I receive it at the sacraments, and I receive it from our priests. And it's so important to support each other and to learn from each other.
Both Father and Adam, you're highlighting this self-sacrificing love, this giving of yourself, and we really learn that from Christ himself, who gave himself to us in dying on the cross.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to wrap up this segment, but again, this is Adam Story, the Director of Marriage and Family Life for the Diocese of Des Moines, and I'm here with Dowling Catholic Chaplain Father Zach Kautsky and Brian Gonzalez. And we're discussing the theology of marriage on Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM.
Spread the word.
Welcome back. This is Adam Story, the Director of the Marriage and Family Life Office for the Diocese of Des Moines. And I'm here with Father Zach Kautsky and Brian Gonzalez. And we've been talking about the theology of marriage and really, really highlighting that what marriage is about. Marriage is sacramental. Marriage brings God's love into the world. Marriage points us to God's love. And ultimately, marriage makes us holy. That's our goal. That's what marriage is about, is to become saints, which is our vocation. But in this last segment, I want to talk more about some of the practical aspects of it. You know, this is great, but if we don't know how to live it, how do we do that?
And on the last segment, right before the break, Brian had pointed to the crucifix. We actually have a crucifix sitting here at the studio, and to look at that example of Christ on the cross as really the model for us and our vocation of true love. And we see on that cross, we see what John Paul II calls the four marks of authentic love. The four marks, so that it's free, it's total, it's faithful, and it's fruitful. You know, four marks of authentic, true love. And so I think that's always got to be the measure for us.
Especially today, because, you know, we use love in so many different ways. I love my wife. I absolutely love my wife. I love Taco Bell. You know, I love watching football. I love reading a good book. So what does this mean? So these marks of love are really so important to weed out authentic love from love that's not authentic. Now, one of the things, so again, it's important we have these marks. So how do I freely, totally, faithfully, and fruitfully love a spouse? How do we incorporate this love into our life? You know, one of the things that Brian's family does that I'm going to draw on, because actually we kind of took it from you, but in your apartment, you have this beautiful corner where you have a crucifix, you have some icons, some holy images, and I mean, why do you have that? Why did you put that there?
Yeah, we call it a prayer corner, and it's a really, it's a helpful way. It's at a prominent place in our house. It's where our television would be if we had one. We don't have one because we have a prayer corner instead. It draws our attention away. It draws our attention towards something rather than away by having television. Not saying that TVs are bad, but oftentimes we get we overuse them, we get absorbed by them. And so having a prayer corner with a lot of these sacramentals and rosaries and statues and the crucifix help orient our lives to really something that's more important.
Yeah, and what I love about it is it's a reminder, a visual reminder that's right in front of you whenever you're in the living space of your home. You know, otherwise, some families are reminded of Christ for an hour a week at Mass.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Sometimes 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Depending on the homily.
Yeah. That's right.
And or if they stay. Or 45 if they leave 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Mass
right
for communion.
But it's important to have that. And, you know, another thing that touches on is it's important to have physical reminders.
That's right.
Because we're
sentient beings. We're people who feel, touch, taste, and smell. And so by having those things in our house, in our homes, that helps remind us better than just saying, well, I'm a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think another way that we practice love in our family and we together grow closer to Christ and orient ourselves closer to Christ, as Brian talked about. Another way, and maybe seems obvious, but is that we worship God together. You know, that our Sunday obligation, our Sunday gift of the Eucharist, that we try to do that together as a family and with our spouse. You know, I know sometimes there are things that come up and reasons that we have to kind of split up, you know, as a family, but I think that's something that we really want to recapture, is a family going together to Mass and seeing that as a the tightest bond that they could possibly have, to stand before God and to enter into heaven for a few minutes at Mass.
That's really key. You know, in this period where everybody's getting sick and the flu, and sometimes we have to split up. And just last week, I had to go to Mass by myself with the two boys. Not an easy task with a 2.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old.
Yeah.
My wife was sick, and so and I wanted to bring our boys to Mass. But not having my wife there, obviously, to help out with the two boys, but not having her there, for me, there was something that was missing. And it's really key to have the whole family there together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that goes beyond just the Mass, too, that what the family participates in together is really a sign of priorities. You know, a lot of times families will, they are going to watch their favorite TV show together. They are going to go to their children's sporting events together. And those are good things to do that. Do we spend time praying together? Do we spend time at a meal together as a family? All of those areas, the most sacred parts of our life, we should do as a family.
And I think it's really beautiful to see when families come together to reconciliation, and You know, they're all there in the line, and it's just really beautiful to see the parents promoting that really important act of reconciling ourselves with God and with the church, and seeing that, you know, our actions have, for better or worse, they have, you know, they affect other people. And so to see also the sacrament of reconciliation as not something that we necessarily pop over to alone, but we also, but maybe we grab the kids, grab our spouse, and we try to go occasionally together. I think that's also a very, very important thing. And sometimes, you know, if there is a fight in the family or, you know, domestic dispute, the family will be there together, you know, so that's very beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, one thing that's really helpful is to start the day and to end the day with a prayer. Our family, we try to, as soon as we get up in the morning, and since some of us get up at different times, we have to do this individually. We get up, get on our knees, and say a very short prayer, just a daily offering ourselves and our actions to God. And what it does, it actually sanctifies the entire day. So you don't actually have to think about intentionally with every action, I'm offering this up to God today, because you've already done that in the morning. And then at night, you ask for forgiveness, and you ask that everything you did was for the glory of God. And I think those two things really, they bookend your day, and protect it for the Lord.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is, it's really a lofty goal, and it's a beautiful goal. And when we recognize the meaning of marriage, we recognize how important it is to invite Christ into our marriages. But we could spend a lot of time talking about this, but we have to wrap up. Thank you so much for being here, Father. And
thank
Ryan.
You.
Thank you very much.
Great. This is Adam Story, the Marriage and Family Life Director for the Diocese, and we're wrapping up on Iowa Catholic Radio. And Father, could you lead us in a prayer?
Let's pray together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty and eternal God, you bless the union of married couples so that they might reflect the union of Christ with his church. Look with kindness on them. Renew their marriage covenants, increase your love in them, and strengthen their bonds of peace, so that with their children, they may always rejoice in the gift of your blessing. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.